Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, this is Richard Christie, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
I am Dan Lorenzo from the Cursed Hades Nonfiction and Who Knows What Else, and I love the show Talking Metal, which is what you are listening to right now.
Hello, this is Tony Iommi, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Yes, this is Jim Brewer, and you're listening to Talking Metal! Hey, this is Vicio, you're rocking with Talking Metal! Fucking A!
Hi, this is Henka from Children of Bodom, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
This is Annick, Morbid Chef Zero on Talking Metal Radio.
Great.
Thank you, Annick.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 302. A little ticked right now because John and I actually recorded host wraps for this episode and they somehow got deleted by my computer. So screw up on my part. I'm not exactly sure what I did in the GarageBand software to delete our host wraps, but I'm redoing them now solo. I'm going to make this quick. We got Richard Christie from Charred Walls of the Damned on the show today, along with Anik, the Morbid Chef, who has a great book out called Hellbent for Cooking. When I first heard about the Hellbent for Cooking heavy metal cookbook, I wasn't so sure about it. And, when my son was born, somebody got me, the heavy metal book for babies and daddies and stuff, and it was really pretty lame, gimmicky. So I was concerned that the Hellbent for Cooking book might be similar. But let me tell you, this is a great book. If you're a fan of heavy metal, you need to get it. It has lots of history in there, tidbits on a lot of bands, big bands from Thin Lizzy all the way to, extreme black metal bands, progressive black, if you will, Psy, like Psy out of Japan, Creator, Anthrax, Mayhem, Doro is in here, Quar. So it's a lot of fun. I really suggest you pick it up. There's a lot of great dishes in here, a lot of great drinks in this book too. And we're big drinkers here, as is Richard Christie, who is the first guest on the podcast today. He's a part of this book, Hellbent for Cooking, and he's also a part of a great new band called Charred Walls of the Damned. We're going to get into the interview in just one second here. Please pick up a t-shirt in the store section of TalkingMetal.com. John Astronomy, our friend Victor over in Spain, and myself are constantly updating the wire section on TalkingMetal.com. That's our news page. It has all the scoops on what we're up to and what we've heard on the street. That was one of the first places to report that Dave Ellefson is open to playing songs off of Endgame. I thought that was a pretty cool little tidbit we had. We actually heard it in the interview first, and then before the interview was podcasted, we put it up there. We also have our Twitter page, which is twitter.com/talkingmetal, so check us out there. All right, here's Richard Christie. Then we're going to hear some of his music. Well, actually, we're going to hear Death first. Death covering Painkiller. That's Richard on drums on this track. And then we're going to get into the interview, followed by two short sound samples of his music. We'll then head into the interview with the Morbid Chef.
Be afraid, it's just Talking Metal Live. Here's Mark John with a very special guest.
We are very excited. We have in the studio with us tonight Richard Christie.
Howdy, fellas.
How are you,
man? Richard.
I'm good. It's good to see you again. I haven't seen you since, I've seen you a few times, but I remember we jammed together not too long ago.
We ate Chinese food together.
Yes.
Two of the most amazing jams. The Slayer jam was one of my absolute favorites.
Yes, that was a lot of fun.
Metal Mike, and we had Byron from God Forbid.
Yes.
And Richard, the powerhouse, crazed double bass player. I love it. It's insane.
That was awesome. That was a lot of fun.
And we're going to concentrate on what Richard is up to now. We had you on episode 253 and really talked a lot about your history and stuff. But let's talk about what's going on now. You have a brand new project out that sounds great. It's out in stores and on iTunes right now. Charred Walls of the Damned. Tell us about putting this. Is it a project or a band? How are you referring to it?
Well, it's definitely a band. It's something I want to keep going for as long as I can. I see no reason to just do one album and stop. I had so much fun doing this album, and it turned out so amazing that I definitely want to keep this going. And it's something I want to take it on the road. We're planning to do some shows this summer, and I'm very psyched to be back in the recording and touring, you know, game.
Right.
And you had
worked briefly with Tim, right, in Iced Earth, is that
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what about, can you tell us a little bit about Jason and Steve? Jason also produced this record, which the production is amazing. I mean, mm-hmm. It sounds so good.
Yeah, Jason is so talented. I've known him since 1999, and he was just this kind of silly kid that came up to me at the show at the Brass Mug in Tampa when I was playing with Burning Inside, and we got to be really good friends. And Jason and I have actually been writing music together. I lived in Florida for years, and we've been writing music together since about 2001, and we've always talked about putting together a band and a project. And we worked a little bit together on a CD he did called Crotch Duster, which is like a comedy type metal thing that he did.
Right.
And the first person I thought of when I wanted to put together a band, when I had a lot of songs for an album, the first person I thought of was Jason, because I know that we work great together. He's got an amazing studio, Audio Hammer Studios in Orlando. And, he's just a real fun guy to be around. He's real lighthearted, real goofy, and, he's got a lot of back hair that I love to pull in the studio. He's just a fun guy to be around. So, and same with Steve and Tim. They're just really good friends of mine. Putting this band together was a great opportunity for us just to get together again and hang out and have fun, too. And, luckily a great metal album came out of
it. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was my next question, because you guys, I mean, Tim is just incredibly busy with so many different projects, and you, of course, on Howard Stern. And all your stuff up here in New York. I was wondering how often you guys actually got together, the four of you, in a room and just bang stuff out.
Well, we just pretty much in the studio. We met up at Audio Hammer Studios because of everybody's schedules. And Jason has a very full production schedule. He's usually booked up
10 or 11 months out of the year. So we didn't really have much of a chance to really get together other than when we went in the studio. But I had demoed all the songs, written, played the guitar, bass, and drums, and done some vocal ideas for all the songs on the album. So we had a good blueprint of what we wanted it to sound like. But luckily, it went really smooth when we got into the studio in Florida. And Jason and I did a couple days of pre-production where we kind of fine-tuned all the songs. And Jason is just so amazing at producing and songwriting. So everything just went super smooth. We did everything in about 3 weeks. Tim did his vocals in something like 5 days, which is super fast for doing the vocals for a whole album. And everybody came in very prepared. They had heard the demos that I had sent of the songs, and it just went really, really smooth.
Now, Richard, I knew that you had played guitar before, but I was blown away at how good you actually are on guitar as well as drums, because I consider you one of the absolute best drummers that we've ever jammed with. But this is not, you know, three chord, you know, metal. This is like some complicated stuff. And it's I didn't know that you were that good on guitar.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And, you know, I got to give all the credit on the album to Jason. He's just a shredder. He's so amazing. And if you heard the demos, you would hear a huge difference between my playing and what, you know, is on the album. I mean, it's the same riffs, but I'm in no means by, you know, nowhere near the level that Jason is as a guitar player, which is one thing that I was super excited about when we got in the studio. I played all the guitars on the demos, and I'm okay at guitar. I mean, I've been playing for a while, and I can get my ideas out there, but once Jason got a hold of the riffs, he was like a, you know, a crazy chef just stirring the pot and making these riffs amazing, and he just really spiced them up, and it was exciting. Exciting to hear these riffs that I wrote just really come to life once Jason got a hold of them.
In addition to the music, you also wrote all of the lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Yep. For one time, I'm not being the goofball who's, you know, getting meatballs thrown at his butt on the Stern Show or something crazy like that. I took it very seriously, and I approached it. It's a lot of the lyrics are very personal. They're things that I can relate to, that hopefully other people can relate to. There's one song called Fear in the Sky, and it's about my fear of flying. I'm terrified to fly. It's something I've never gotten used to. As much as I've flown all over the world on tour, I still have to have, you know, plenty of drinks before I get on an airplane. And so that's one one of the songs is inspired by that. There's a song called Blood on Wood that was inspired one day. I was rehearsing the drums for this album. I was practicing in Brooklyn. And I look down while I'm playing the drums, and one of my drumsticks is covered in blood. And, you know, I don't mean to be nasty, but one of my blood blisters had broken and just like covered one of the drumsticks in blood. And I thought, that's a pretty heavy title, Blood on Wood.
Right.
That's cool.
It can also sound pretty perverse, I guess.
How about Manifestation is a song. I like Ghost Town, Manifestation, also Voices Within the Walls are all cool.
Oh,
tracks.
Thank you very much.
Very catchy too. Like when I first heard about this record, I have to admit I wasn't quite expecting the big catchy hooks.
Well, that's important to me. I mean, growing up as a metal fan, growing up on Iron Maiden, you know, King Diamond, Merciful Fate, all those bands have hooks, and they're really catchy but heavy at the same time. You know, old Metallica, I love all that stuff. Yeah. And even a lot of the death metal that I listen to. If you listen to Morbid Angel or Dismember or Malevolent Creation, a lot of the stuff they did in the early 90s actually had hooks. And I love that. I love when a band is super heavy, but there's also that catchiness to it. And that was really important to me. And that's one thing that that Jason is so amazing at. When we went in the studio, Jason really took the vocal patterns and the vocal ideas that Tim and I had worked on and just made them so catchy. Like the chorus from Voices Within the Walls, which I love. That was, you know, Jason came up with the idea for that chorus. And to me, that was one of the most important aspects of making this record, was to really get those hooks in there where you know, 2 hours after you hear the album, you're still singing a chorus from one of the songs or you're humming one of the songs. That I wanted to make this album heavy, but at the same time, very memorable.
Definitely. Let's talk about, back to the lyrics, Ghost Town. What is that actually about?
That's about a little town in northeast Oklahoma that I drove through last April. I grew up in Kansas, about 45 minutes away from where this town is. And I used to go through this town with my parents when I was a kid, and it was just a normal little town that we'd drive through on the way to Tulsa or something. And in the past 10 or 20 years, the town has pretty much been abandoned because of lead mining and lead dust. And it's just, it really blew my mind when I drove through this town that that here's a place in America that really you're not supposed to live in, that's really dangerous to live in. And it's weird to me that there's places in America that are like that, that the environment is so damaged that people can't even live there. But meanwhile, there are people that still live in that town. There are people that don't want to leave because they've lived there for so long, and people are trying to get them to leave and they don't want to. So it was just a pretty heavy thing to drive through this nearly abandoned town. And that kind of inspired the lyrics for Ghost Town.
And the video is posted on your website. And I love the use of the gas masks and where you can see the band in the eyes of the gas mask. Now, who came up with that idea and who did that video and where did you record it?
That is my great friend Mike Schiff. He's a super talented filmmaker that I know that I actually work with on Howard TV, which is Howard Stern's TV channel. And Mike is just, he's real talented. We pretty much just did it with me and Mike. We drove to Pennsylvania one day. Mike has a ton of camera equipment. We went on a Sunday. I got permission to film in a haunted house. I'm a Halloweeny, which is, you know, people that love to travel around every October and go to haunted attractions all over the country. And one of my favorites is in Pennsylvania. It's called Shocktoberfest in Reading, Pennsylvania. So I called Pat, the owner, one day, and I was like, "Hey, Pat, would you mind if we filmed in your haunted house for a day?" And he was like, "Yeah, come on. I'll just unlock the door, and you can do whatever you want." And so it was really cool to film in this. It's a massive, just haunted attraction, and he pretty much just unlocked the doors and said, "Go crazy." And so we filmed there for a day, and it was a lot of work. I'm actually the creepy guy in the gas mask.
Oh, cool.
I'm the only actor we could find that would work for free. So that's me, and, you know, I could barely breathe in that thing, but it was all for metal, so it was worth it. And I think the video turned out great for as quick as we made it and for the budget that we had. I'm really, really proud of it, and I think Mike Schiff did just an awesome job.
No doubt.
So you mentioned that there probably will be some, or there definitely will be some live dates for the band.
Yeah. We're working on booking some stuff right now. I'm working with a management company here in New York, and
will you be taking off time from your real job to go do this?
Well, you know, I mean, definitely my day job comes first.
Right.
I mean, I have the greatest job in the world, and I love it there so much, and I owe everything to Howard Stern for hiring me, because it's, you know, that was always my dream, to have a day job that I love. Even when I was playing in other bands, I still got up and went to do a job as an electrician, and which I didn't mind that as much, but getting to go to a job that you really love is,
sure,
is amazing. So I'll work it around our vacations on the Stern Show.
Yeah.
And but that works out good too for all of us, because Tim is very busy. Jason and Steve are both really busy too. So, you know, we'll work it out. And that was one thing I took into consideration when putting this band together, is I didn't want three other guys waiting around on me to go on tour,
right.
You know, with nothing else going on. These other guys, they have a lot going on as well. So, we'll, as long as we have 2 or 3 months notice to book some shows, we'll be able to line our schedules up and make it happen. And we're thinking about July and August doing some shows, hopefully some festival dates over in Europe. And
Great.
So I'm psyched.
Cool. And last time we spoke, you mentioned we were talking about the unfinished Control Denied record. Is there still a definite plan to finish that up.
Yeah, we actually, it's some really cool news that we can finally go ahead and finish that album.
What happened? Was there legal things?
Legal stuff. There was a label in Europe that that Chuck had signed to, that there were some things going on, and I don't know all the specifics. I just know that it was tied up in courts for a while, the album, and now the album, as far as I know, the album, Chuck's family is in charge of the album now, which is great because I'm very close with Chuck's family, and I've talked with them a lot, and they're very excited about finishing the second Control Denied. And I know Tim Amar and Shannon Hamm and Steve DiGiorgio are very excited, and Jim Morris from Morris Sound is really excited about doing it because this was, you know, one of Chuck's last wishes was that he really wanted the fans to hear this album. And
what needs to be finished on the album?
Well, I did the drums and Chuck did his guitars in December of 2000. We did the drums, and then throughout December of 2000 and the first half of 2001, I'm pretty sure, Chuck finished his guitars.
Okay.
And so we need to go in and do Shannon Hamm's leads. And we need to do Tim Amar's vocals and Steve DiGiorgio's bass.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, we're gonna do that this year. I'm super excited about that, and the songs are just incredible. People are gonna freak out when they hear them. It's just, you know, I'm really, really excited to finally finish this album because that's what Chuck really, really wanted.
Yeah, it's a win-win situation for everybody, for Chuck, because his music is going to get out there, for his family, who I know would love to hear this get out there, for you guys in the band, who it meant so much to, and then to all the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was, you know, Chuck just loved... Chuck was so humble when it came to his music. He just loved when fans told him that they loved his music, and he was so honored by that. And just to know that this album will finally be able to be heard by the fans, it makes me so happy. And you know, and because I know that Chuck would be happy.
Cool. Now, Richard, you guys have a ton of media stuff going on, and you had a really cool party at a place that I really like called Fontana's in New York. Tell us about the release party.
Well, I'm still recovering a week later. As you can tell, I'm a little stuffed up. I stayed out late, got about 2 hours of sleep, and had to go to work and caught a cold. But it was all worth it, man. It was all for metal. It was a really good time. I drank a lot of PBR that night.
Cool.
A lot of fans came out. Tim Ripper Owens and I were signing the album. It was really, really just a cool night, and a lot of killer bands played. And Tim and I got up and jammed Living After Midnight with this band, the Hickson, who are very good friends of mine from the Philly area. And yeah, it was just a really good time. Usually that's a school night for me, a Tuesday, and I don't go out. But this was a special occasion, and I had a lot of fun. Brian Slagle from Metal Blade flew out for it.
Oh,
and,
wow, cool.
Yeah, it was a really, really good time. And, you know, you can't go wrong with metal and Pabst Blue Ribbon and a bunch of metalheads and metal bands.
No doubt.
Cool. Speaking of drinks, there is a new cookbook out called Hellbent for Cooking, the Heavy Metal Cookbook. And you have a recipe in there that I wanted to ask you about, the Viking testicle drink. Yeah. Let's talk about this. What actually is this drink, and where did this name come from?
The technical term for it is a flirtini, which, you know, if you're
metal... You got to butch that up a little bit.
Exactly. If you're a metalhead, you're not going to walk into a bar and say, hey, give me a flirtini.
Yeah. You
know? So I decided to, you know, change it up a little bit so that metalheads could be proud to order a drink, you know, that you just go up and order the Viking testicle. That's nothing sounds more manly than that.
Is it catching on at bars yet? Have you tried it out?
I've not heard one person order one. No, I think I'm the only one. And what it comes from is there's a bar on the Upper East Side. A buddy of mine was bartending there, and my fiance and I would go there every Friday night, and it's just a real cool bar, and I would just drink about 20 flirtinis when I go there. And I told him, I said, you know, I can't keep coming up here and yelling out, give me a flirtini, Jared. So I told him, I said, I'm going to call it a Viking testicle and you'll know what to make me.
Right.
And and so that's what I, that was our code word for a flirtini.
And what,
so,
what actually is in that? Yeah,
can we divulge that?
Is it served in a scrotum?
Well, it's made of
wine
men's
sack.
Semen. No, it's got, what is in it? Champagne.
The pineapple in a
pineapple juice. And it's got Stoli vanilla vodka.
Okay.
Wow. Sounds like a flirtini to me.
Well, it is, but I'm changing it up a little bit.
I like it. I'm going to order that next time
it's
I
good.
Go to a bar.
It's really good. You know, I like it. It's a little girly, but what are you going to do? I like sweet drinks. So, and you know, in the cookbook, I change it up a little bit too. I say that you have to listen to a little Amon Amarth Under a Northern Star while you
make
the
drink. Viking metal.
Yeah, right. And I think I say something like, it's best served in the tusk of a woolly mastodon or something.
Yeah, nice.
But if you can't find that, a martini glass will do.
That'll work. Now, Richard, you mentioned school nights. Now, what time do you normally go to bed, and what time do you have to be there in the morning at the Howard Stern Show?
I go to bed about... It's hard. It's a schedule I still have never gotten used to, and I don't know if you can, because ideally I would go to bed at 8 o'clock and get up at 4 a.m.
Wow.
But I can never go to bed at 8 o'clock. There's always something on TV, or I'm playing guitar or doing something. So I end up going to bed about 10, 10:30 and getting up about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
So.
And you live in the city, so it's not that hard to get to work, probably.
Well, I live in Queens now.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and tomorrow might be a little bit of a chore. I know we're going to get slammed, supposedly.
That's what they're saying.
Tonight with snow.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, hopefully the subways will be running okay. But it's not bad. I'm about a 15-minute subway ride from
work.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Sometimes... I was just going to say, sometimes living in Queens, depending on where you're going, that might be easier for you to get to work on the subway than if you did live in maybe, you know, the Hell's Kitchen area or the East Village or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I actually had it pretty good for a couple of years. I lived at 48th and 10th, and our office is at 48th and 6th. So,
right. Oh, that's cool.
You know, and I would walk to work about 4:30 in the morning. I saw some crazy stuff because... You know, New York at 4:30 in the morning on a Tuesday night, you don't know what you're going to see. I saw people having sex in a telephone booth one night and just a lot of crazy stuff. So it was always interesting. But, you know, if I was running a little bit late, I'd always have to take a cab. And I ended up spending, living on the West Side, there's no subway. So I'd spend $100, $200 a month on cabs.
Wow.
Now I just buy a Metro card and it saves me a lot of money, actually, living in Queens. So
cool.
You could spend all that savings on... Viking testicles.
There you go. And you have your Metalocalypse t-shirt on there tonight. You did some of the voices on that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was
great show.
Yeah, I don't want to say I was typecast, but I played a redneck on there. I was a redneck who's driving and drinking whiskey down a road in a pickup truck.
Oh,
where the
governor episode, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Florida.
Great.
Yeah,
yeah, where
great
Nathan
episode.
Explosion becomes the governor of
Florida.
Florida,
yep.
And the episode opens with me driving down the road, and I say, what do I say? I quote a deicide lyric. I can't remember exactly what, like, I am the spawn of hell, or yeah. I am the Satan spawn, something like that.
Right.
And right then my head gets blown off.
Yeah.
Somebody shoots me in the head, and then the truck plows into a school full of children. So
yeah.
It
yeah.
starts off very violent. And I remember,
then you come back at the end as an older redneck,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, and he gets shot in the head too. So
yeah, I know that episode. I had no idea that
great.
Was you. Yeah,
I got
hilarious.
To die twice in Metalocalypse, which was an honor. And I told my parents, I said, hey, you should watch Cartoon Network. I'm going to be on this cartoon Metalocalypse. And they watched it and they called me the next day. They're like, boy, that sure is a violent cartoon. They're from Kansas. They didn't know what to think, but they're cool. They
did your parents go to the Harold and Kumar premiere?
No, they didn't.
Okay, I thought maybe you had said that they went and saw it in like the world premiere of it.
Well, they did go see it in Pittsburgh, Kansas, which is, you know, a tiny little theater in Kansas. And I think they said it was only a few people in there, and they told everybody to keep an eye out for me in the movie. So that was pretty cool. I thought it was cool that, you know, they got to go to a theater near where I grew up in Kansas and see me in a movie.
And the big screen, it's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I went to the premiere with my fiance, and we had a blast. We had a, can I curse on
yes,
here,
sure,
by the
yeah,
way?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, because I was going to say, we got to hang out with the guy who had the cock meat sandwich in the movie. Yeah, the yeah. big guy, the big guy that's in Guantanamo Bay.
Now, what's in that drink? A cock meat sandwich. That's I think Bailey's some, Irish cream and
topped off with curly pubes or something.
Yeah.
I don't
there
know.
You go.
But cool. This guy's huge. He's like 7 foot tall, and he looks like a Viking. And so we hung out with him, and I was like, "Oh, you're the cock meat sandwich guy." That's all I called him all night.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. You're welcome to hang out. We have a couple other guests coming up later, but I know you also have an extremely early day tomorrow, so
yeah.
we understand if you got to run. But,
yeah, we got
pizza coming.
Oh, I know. I saw it out there. It out there.
Cool. Well, let's get into some music. This is Voices Within the Walls. If you're listening to the podcast version of this show, we will have links up in today's show notes that'll open up your iTunes and take you directly to this song and this album, Charred Walls of the Damned. And so there is a possibility of a second album, right?
Oh, definitely. Cool. I've actually already written 6 songs. I just finished the 6th. Song for the next album this past Sunday. So, yeah, definitely. I can't wait to go. I'm hoping even to go back in the studio before the end of the year because Jason just has the ultimate studio. He's got a pool. He's got, you know, it's out in the country in Florida. It's just so chill. We watch Lebowski and drink White Russians and just have a great time. So,
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And, but yeah, I wanted to ask you guys too. Like, what do you have a favorite track off the album that you particularly like?
Well, the first one that caught me was the single because that I think was released before the rest of the record on iTunes. So mm-hmm. I had downloaded that initially, and the hook in that just blew my mind. But as time went on, I really liked Manifestations and Voices. Voices Within the Walls, which you know, I was going to play right now. If you're
awesome.
Cool with it,
yeah. Well, we're thinking about doing another video and a second single, and I loved getting people's opinion because I like all the songs, I like to get people's opinion on what they would think would be another good video. So.
And I do think you picked a great tune for the first video, Ghost Town, and to me, because I've been watching that video, that's the song that I'm singing over and over. So I mean, great choice to pick that tune.
Thanks.
To do that.
Well, I gotta give the credit for that to the great Brian Slagle, because I was kind of up in the air. I was like, well, I like all the songs, I really don't want to pick one, and he thought that was a really good choice, that kind of in one song it encompasses what this band is about and kind of covers all the bases as far as all the different styles that are in this band and, you know, the different textures, I guess you could say. So
cool. Well, cool if we stuff. Could just get a Talking Metal ID from you, and then we'll get right into the music. Your name, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
This is Richard Christie from Charred Walls of the Damned, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Cool. Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
which you just heard was a quick sound sample of Ghost Town by Charred Walls of the Damned. Use those links in today's show notes to download that music, support Richard Christie and his great new band, Charred Walls of the Damned. I was really impressed with the album, and I hope you guys go and give it a good listen on iTunes. Do some downloading of it, legally, of course. Let's get into the interview with Anik, the Morbid Chef. Both these two interviews in today's show were recorded back in early February on Talking Metal Live. The next live show is March 11th, Thursday, March 11th. Bobby Blitz in the studio with us live. Should be a lot of fun. I think Mark from Accept and maybe Peter from Accept might be there too. That's still tentative, but let's see. If you're listening to this show before Saturday, March 6th, get your ass down to Dingbats. Screaming Metal will rock you in our yearly celebration that is taking place at Dingbats out in Clifton, New Jersey. All right, here's our friend, Anik, the Morbid Chef, author of Hellbent for Cooking.
And we're back with Talking Metal Live, still metal, and now about to do some talking, Mark and John.
That was the classic Judas Priest song, Painkiller, by the band Death, with Richard Christie on drums. What a great drummer. What a great guy.
No doubt about it. Anik.
Hi.
Hey, Anik. On the line, let me introduce you, Anik. We are so psyched to have you on the line all the way from Canada. We have Anik, the Morbid Chef, Shihu, author of Hellbent for Cooking, the Heavy Metal Cookbook. I am so psyched, Anik. Welcome to Talking Metal.
Hey, thank you. And that was some great music you were playing.
Thanks.
Thanks, Anik. Mark here. Anik, the Morbid Chef, the author, I guess, of Hellbent for Cooking, the one and only heavy metal cookbook on bazillion points, right?
Right.
Yep.
Great.
And I wanted to talk to you about the book. It's not a typical idea to have a heavy metal cookbook. Where did you get this idea from?
Well, it's only putting my two passions together, which is cooking and metal. So I'm like, hey, why don't I do a heavy metal cookbook? And the idea just sprouted like that.
Cool. And now it's a cool book because initially I thought it was just going to be recipes, but it's so much more than that. It's basically what happens is, I guess, the recipes come from the band. Mm-hmm. And then on each page, you kind of give your little opinion and two cents on the actual recipe. And then there is also a write-up about the band, which had some, you know, a bunch of, like, really cool facts. Like, for instance, the Rods. I never knew that David from the Rods was Ronnie James Dio's cousin.
I
never knew that before I read this cookbook. So that was cool, as well as his recipe for full-throttled chicken curry.
And it's great because you get to learn more about the bands. Sometimes they give little stories why they picked that recipe in particular and stuff like that.
Yeah, cool. So. Let's talk about some of the bands. I mean, you cover everybody from Sepultura to hard rock and Thin Lizzy to, you know, progressive black metal Psy to, you know, main melodic metal Doro. What type of metal do you like the best?
I'm a big fan of doom metal.
Oh, doom. Okay, cool.
Yeah, like Candlemass and
sure.
Trouble and stuff like that. That's my favorite style, but I really love, the roots of every metal style. Like, I really love New Wave of British heavy metal, early black metal, when it was still fresh,
stuff
like that. So I like pretty much everything except for, like, gore and, like, gore grind and stuff like that.
Speaking of doom, Wino provides a recipe for brownies, which actually contain cannabis. I think one of maybe two recipes in the book that have cannabis. Now, I noticed that was one of the few recipes you actually didn't comment on. Was that for legal reasons, or why was that?
Well, I don't do drugs at all, so I made it with tea. So I didn't want to sound like a wimp, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Now, Anik, what are some of the recipes that are in this cookbook that you like the best?
My favorite is the lamb and cabbage stew by Mayhem.
Wow.
Which is called, I can't pronounce the name, but I think it's called Ferikal or something like that. And it's really good, and it takes about 5 minutes to make.
Wow.
Yeah, it's that recipe is like really killer, especially for like the holidays or when you get like, you know, a bunch of your friends. You know, it's so easy, and it takes 2 hours to cook,
wow.
5 minutes to make.
Now, how long did it take you to, you know, basically cook all this stuff, photograph it, and not only just photograph a cool meal, but there's like skulls in the background. Like you'll see a pizza and then there's a skull there, or chains or, you know, how did you do this? And how long did it take you to just put that part of it together? I mean, it's a major undertaking, this book.
Yeah. Well, it took me 6 months.
Wow.
6 months. Wow.
Yeah. I pretty much, you know, worked nonstop. I have a day job too. So I work in the evenings and weekends and, you know, stop going to shows and hanging out with friends. Yeah, so it was really fun, and you know, making all the food, I would make like, you know, 5 recipes per day and photograph everything.
Wow! So you photographed it yourself?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
And these are all, I mean, for the most part, these are all serious recipes.
Right.
I mean, this isn't a joke in any way. I mean, these are and again, the facts are what I just love. There's a flounder fillet by John from Sir Lord Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And another cool fact that you have in there, that Sir Lord Baltimore was the first band to ever be called heavy metal.
Yeah, wow. That's right. In Cream Magazine.
And where do you get these facts from?
I would research biographies and stuff like that. Some
yeah.
of them I knew already.
Yeah.
Like this fact, I knew the Rods. I knew just by reading magazines and stuff like that. You know, I researched a lot every single band to make sure that the biographies are as interesting as possible. So, internet, books, encyclopedias, stuff like that.
Cool. We just had Richard Christie here in the studio, and he told us about the Viking testicle drink, which we're going to try.
Right now?
No.
Not right now. A little bit later.
I was thinking it would be good if we had the ingredients.
Yeah, we should have had it.
But,
I don't think we have it here.
We still have a few more interviews left tonight, so try to
we gotta wait.
Maintain our sanity. But again, there are a lot of... It's broken down into sections. You have chicken... Beef, lamb? Is that that's mm-hmm. a vegetarian meals, and then you have some desserts, and you have the drinks in the back, the mixed drinks.
Yeah.
Did you notice that the recipes that were submitted by certain bands, kind of the meals, maybe in a way reflected their music?
The thrash metal bands, they always incorporated beer.
Yeah,
cool.
Makes sense, right?
Of course. But beside that, it really depends on the culture of the place where they come from. The bands from Greece, for example, they all gave me lamb recipes.
Right.
But, you know, it doesn't really... go with the style of metal.
No, it does not. No.
Now, Anik, I was talking to you earlier, and I told you that I'm going to try to make some of these. Now, I already know what I'm going to start with, and it's absolutely one of my favorite meals that I've had my whole childhood, and it's Scott Ian's favorite stuffed cabbage. It looks amazing. I want to go eat it right now. I'm looking at the picture. But tell us about that. And had you ever had, like, for example, had you tried all of these before, or was this something new for you?
I had a stuffed cabbage before, but this recipe, when I did the recipe, it was a new one for me. But
cool.
My grandma makes that meal all the time, too.
Very cool. Mine does, too, and my mom, too.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. And Scott Ian's recipe is a bit more sugary than usual.
Wow.
Because he uses a mix of ketchup and ginger ale.
Wow.
The sauce. Yeah. And it's really good. I really like it personally.
Cool.
And how many recipes are actually in this book?
There's 101 recipes.
Oh, wow. So, okay. And these, again, guys, all serious recipes. Even if you're not a metalhead, I would probably recommend this book, because there are a lot of things that you would never think of. A lot of more typical things with maybe ingredients you wouldn't think of. The guacamole by Gonzo from Armored Saint looks quite delicious. Do you remember trying that one?
Yeah. That one was really good, too. And the pizzas, too. There's all sorts of different pizzas.
Yeah, there's like a five-layer pizza or something.
Yeah, who did cake.
Yeah. Who did that one? Do you remember?
It's a band called Funerot from the States. It's like a thrash metal, a little bit in the style of Voivod.
Right.
And, they just created this insanity. Four pizzas stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, I looked through every recipe. I was on a plane home from Mexico the other day, and I sat there eating horrible airplane food, looking at all these delicious pictures. Yeah, but which was torture. But I got to tell you, there were every recipe, all I guess 101, including the pot brownies, looked delicious to me, except for two. And I wanted to give these two a shout out because the ball testicle surprise seemed a little scary to me. And this was by Thomas from Master's Hammer. Do you actually tasted this, correct?
Yeah, of course.
And what was it like? I mean, these are actual testicles, right?
Yeah.
From a cow?
The ones that I found was from a sheep.
Oh, wow. Sheep. Okay.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Hey, good for you.
And where do you buy sheep testicles?
In halal butchers, butcher shops.
Wow.
Because over there, they need to keep them for some reason. It's hard to find bull testicles because they cut them at a young age, become... beef or something like that.
Yeah, probably cones. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But it tasted like liver a little bit.
Interesting.
And the ones that I tried were sheep, so they had like a kind of sheep aftertaste. And it was okay, but you know when liver cooks, it kind of smells bad.
Right.
So, it's okay, but I wouldn't eat it every day.
And what was the other one that was I thought was maybe a little odd was Liz from Electric Wizard. Rook. Yeah.
What rook is?
I don't know what it is, but I saw a picture of a bird there, and it looked kind of scary to me. Like, what's up with that? What is a rook bird?
A rook bird is a crow. It's actually a small crow something like that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, here in Montreal, if you eat crows, they're gonna have some kind of weird. You'll grow a tail or something.
Right, yeah. Not exactly sanitary.
So I didn't try the exact recipe.
Right. Cool.
I suppose I researched it and I found substitutes for people that want to try it.
Cool. Well, Anik, we are so psyched, and I can't wait to get in the kitchen to try out some of these recipes.
Awesome.
And let me tell all the Talking Metal listeners that not only can you... eat what your favorite metal stars love to eat, but there's, as Mark said, a lot of cool facts, some great photos, and Anik, what a nice looking book.
It's a great looking book, it looks great.
And congratulations on it.
You.
And where's the best place for people to buy this book?
The best place is on bazillionpoints.com.
Okay.
Or cool. You can go at hellbentforcooking.com. So that's the cheapest and the fastest place to get it.
Excellent. Well, we will be sure to link both those sites from the show notes in the podcast version of this interview.
Awesome.
And we would love it if you could give us a Talking Metal ID, just saying your name and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay. This is Anik, Morbid Chef Giroux. Crap.
That's okay. That was good.
Try it.
You could do it as many times as you want.
This is Anik, Morbid Chef Giroux on Talking Metal Radio.
Great.
Thank you, Anik.
Yeah, that was perfect. This is Last Train Home by Armored Saint, a band that is actually featured in the book Hellbent for Cooking.
Thanks, Anik.
Hey, you're welcome. Have a good evening.
You too. Take care.
We'll be right back. say you can't remain.